Nothing's impossible for God. And during this Advent, we light these candles. They do more than just give light. They're a symbol of our faith, for one thing. And, you know, I'm going to be setting up, last year I set up a nativity scene, and I'm going to put the nativity scene back out front, you know, and I think that's important. We do those things to show our faith, to show who we are, to show what we believe in. We show people that the Christmas season is more than just gifts and presents, and it's more than just lights. It is about Christ, and that's what it's about. And that should mean something to all, each and every one of us that are born again. It's a timeless reminder of who God is. You know, Advent is about ordinary people in a regular life circumstances being transformed by God's loving work. That's who we are. You know, you have to listen to the text this morning. If you want to read along with me, Verna's going to put it up on the screen. It's a little lengthy, but it's the whole story. I want to tell the whole story. And Luke writes in chapter 1, verse 1 through 25. And I'd like to pray for just a minute. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning, bless these words, Lord, because they're your words. Lord, let your word be heard. Let our hearts be opened and our ears be open to hear. And our hearts be open to receive. Lord, I praise you for who is here. Lord, I praise you for what you've done, Lord, and help us today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Luke writes, "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decide to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. In the time of Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and the decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to do the Lord, to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord.' Zechariah asked the angel, 'How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years.' The angel said to him, 'I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe in my words, which will come true at their appointed time.' Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After his wife, Elizabeth, became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." You know, this passage is about the priest Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth having a child after the natural time that it was possible. And, Advent is about ordinary people, and I said this before, in regular life circumstances, being transformed by God's loving work, and that's really what we see in this story. Zechariah and Elizabeth, a married couple, obedient to God, record of good faith, faithful people, faithful churchgoers. That's who they were. They were just, regular people. Zechariah, though, was a priest and coming from a great lineage of people, not able to have children. They had setbacks and disappointments in their life, just like we do at times. You know, but understanding this culture, that they believed because he could not have children that it was a sin. And it was a disgrace on Elizabeth, and she felt that disgrace, and Zechariah carried that burden, and he prayed to God all the time that God would make that right. But God was silent to him for many years, and Luke tells us that and shows us that bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to good people. They weren't doing anything wrong. But he also shows us that ordinary becomes extraordinary when God shows up. Because God can do extraordinary things with ordinary people. Amen?
Amen.
We cannot be quick to throw the word impossible around when we're believing God is involved in it, church. We have to remember that. Zechariah was going about his job, going about what he does every day, and Zechariah was on the tribe of Aaron. He was from the tribe of Aaron, and the men of Aaron were all priests. There was a lot of priests, I'll put it that way. So much that they had to divide them up into divisions, and there was 24 of these divisions of priests who took their turns at praying and burning incense in the temple. Man, can you imagine that? I remember the story about when David brought the Ark of the Covenant back and he established all these with Obed-Edom being part of that. They had musicians and they had priests and they had people to play the cymbals and then they had people to do all the guards and they had all these people that had their job to do. And they were happy to do it. And they did it every day. Every day they did this. This was their job. They took turns praying and burning incense, and this didn't stop. This just continued on and on and on and on. And I remember the scripture about what it's like in heaven in Revelation. That there's prayer and praises and the calling of holy, holy, holy God Almighty. And this goes on and on and on and on and on. The scripture tells us here in verse 8 there that once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go in to the temple of the Lord and burn the incense. And while he was doing that, the angel of the Lord shows up and he says to him, "Your prayers have been answered." All these years he's been praying for kids, for a child, for a son, for one. All these years he's been praying and he never stopped. And then finally, at this time, at a time when it's impossible, according to him, he's probably thought, there's no way I can ever have. He's probably already given up on that. But he was probably still praying, "Lord, I know, you know, make this right somehow, some way. I know that you're going to make it right some way." the disgrace that he'd carried all those years. I'm sure it kept him up at night thinking that he wasn't good enough. Have you ever had that happen to you? You ever felt disgrace in your life where you felt like that you'd prayed and you didn't feel like God was answering your prayer, and over and night after night after night you felt that way? Let me tell you, God does not forget your prayers. Amen? God hears your prayers. He prayed, he wanted a son, he wanted the Lord to honor that prayer because he did not want the disgrace, not just on him, but on his wife as well. He wanted him to break the curse of being barren. That's the way they felt about it. The angel goes on into great detail about who this child will be. He'll be John, the forerunner to Christ. Now I'm sure they didn't picture him as being priest. They didn't picture John in the way that John turned out, right? Wearing animal skins, running around in the wilderness, eating locusts. I mean, it's probably not what they pictured John to be like. I think of things like that. But this Christmas, you can come to the manger and receive all the Lord that He has for you. Or you can just chalk this Christmas up for another year hearing about the Christmas story. How many years have you heard about the Christmas story and it just went through one ear and out the other? And it didn't really mean anything to you. Change that this year. Let's change that this year. Let's make Christmas mean something this year. Not just as a church, but as yourself spiritually. Would you rather have an experience during Christmas? That's what I want. I want to experience Christmas, not just hear about it. Amen? I feel that way when I open up my Bible and I read and I study. I just don't want to read. I just don't want to hear a message somebody preaches. I want to experience it. Amen? Amen. I want to experience the almighty presence of God in my life. That's what I want. Amen. That's what we should desire. It's more than just hearing. And that's why James said, let's not just be hearers of the word, let's be doers of the word. James is saying that because it's more than just what we hear. It's about the experience that we have. That experience is our testimony. This Christmas you can come and have that experience. You can experience Christmas like you've never experienced it before. Why? Why is it so important? Why is Christmas so important? Why is this message so important? Years ago, there was a very wealthy man who, with his devoted son, shared a passion for art. They collected art from all over the world, and together they traveled around the world, adding only the finest art treasures to their collection. Priceless works from Picasso and Van Gogh and Monet and many others adorned the walls of their large family estate. And the widow father looked on with satisfaction as his only son became an expert in collecting art. But the day came when a war broke out in the nations and he was drafted into the military, and he had to leave to serve his country. And after only a few short weeks, his father received a telegram that his beloved son had been killed in combat while carrying a fellow soldier to a medic. On Christmas morning, a knock came at the door of the old man's home, and as he opened the door, he was greeted by a soldier with a large package in his hand. He introduced himself to the man by saying, "I was a friend of your son's. I was the one that he was carrying when he got killed." He asked if he could come in for a moment. He had something he wanted to share with him. I'm an artist, said the soldier, and I want to give you this. And as the old man unwrapped the package, the paper gave way to reveal a portrait of his son. And though the art wasn't a Van Gogh, the art wasn't really great, it really wasn't a piece of genius, the painting did feature the man's son in great detail. It captured his personality. The following spring, the old man became ill and passed away, and the art world was in anticipation. According to the will of the old man, all the artwork would be auctioned off. And the day soon arrived, and the art collectors came from all around the world, gathered to bid on some of the world's most spectacular paintings. The auctioneer began with a painting that was not on the museum's list, though. It was the painting of this old man's son. And he said, "Who will open this bid at $100? And the room went silent. And from the back of the room, someone callously called out, "Who cares about that painting? Let's move on. It's just the old man's son. Let's forget about it and go on to the more important paintings." The auctioneer said, "No, we have to sell this one first. Now who will be the first bidder?" And finally, a friend of the old man spoke up and he said, "I knew the boy. He was a good friend of mine. So I'd like to have it. So I'll bid $100. Will anyone go higher?" After a silence of going once, going twice, the gavel fell and cheers filled the room and somebody hollered out, "Now we can get to the others." And the auctioneer laid the gavel down and announced to the crowd that the auction was over. "What about these other paintings?" they said. The auctioneer said, "It's very simple. According to the will of the Father, whoever takes the Son gets it all." You know, that's really the essence of Christmas. Whoever takes the Son gets it all. And the author, Luke, the doctor, the Gentile, who was not a Jew like the others, he writes to make a point to tell us this story. Luke says, "Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning," he writes this to the Gentiles so the Gentiles would trust him because they didn't trust the Jews. They wanted somebody they could trust. And he said, "It seems also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught." I like that. The certainty of things that you have been taught. The passage tells us three things. I won't keep you long, but the passage tells us these three things about being prepared. We need to plan. We need to have a good plan. We need to live by faith. And it is by faith that we believe in what we believe. And we need to look at the anticipation of the future. Every time we hear of a snowstorm around here, they're going to get 2 inches of snow and Kroger just gets wiped out, right? People plan, right? Because they don't ever have bread and milk in their house. You know, I'm going to be locked up for 2 days. We can't go 2 days without bread and milk. It seems that way. The stores empty out. And we prepare ourselves for the roads getting bad. It may be possibly that they might be closed, you know, and that doesn't happen around here very often. Really, probably 2 or 3 times in my whole lifetime do I ever remember that we were closed in more than a couple days. Probably 1978. Everybody remembers. You know, a lot of you remember that one. And then just not too many years ago when we had the big ice storm. We were kind of down for a few days there with no power and stuff. But very rarely does it ever happen. But man, 2 inches of snow forecast and whew. Kroger raises the prices and they get, you know, a little extra profit that day. How well are you planning, though? How well are you planning? You know what I'm getting to. We live in a world of broken promises, and how many disappointments happened this year or in your past, and how many letdowns have we had? How many heartaches have we had? And we go and we beg God to give us what we need, and God shows up. God has the answer. God provides a way, and we really don't believe Him half the time because that's what we read in the Scripture, right? God says that He'll provide a way for us, but then we ask and we pray and something doesn't happen on the way we think it should happen. You making any sense here? Like Zechariah, we don't really buy into it all the way. You listening to me? Do you really believe what the Word of God says? Only you can answer that question, really. Do you really buy into all of what it says? We even sometimes believe that God doesn't hear us. You know what? I've been there. There's been times that I just didn't think God was listening. It's natural to question God. You know, when I'm sick with my kidney issue, I can remember then, I'm thinking, God, what in the world? I mean, and just here last Sunday, the last thing I ever want to do, it breaks my heart that we couldn't gather together last Sunday and have church. That just breaks my heart. And I'm thinking, God, how can you, I mean, if you called me to preach, if you called me to do this, how can I do that if I'm laying here in the bed sick? You're a God that can do anything. You're a God that can heal any disease, anything. I believe that. Your Word tells me that. I have faith. But here I am. Here I am. I'm sick. I've had my moments. I think we've all had those moments in our life. But we have faith, and God invites us to be a part of His big plan. That big plan that we don't quite get and understand. You know, sometimes I think if you don't believe in prayer, then why are you praying? I mean, we seem to not really have the faith in it, but yet we continue to pray. It's like playing the lottery. You never win, but you just keep on playing, right? There's a lot of people do that. Somebody's like, I don't play the lottery. I don't ever buy lottery tickets. It's just that hope to win. That hope to win. You see what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying? We have hope to win, right? We have faith in a mighty God. We have hope to win. Why? Because the Word tells us so. Amen? Sometimes we don't see it like we want, but we have hope. That's Advent season. This is what this is all about. Preparing is by faith. That's what I'm talking about, is faith. Zechariah was a priest, and he should have had a lot of faith, right? You'd think, like me, as I was talking about as a pastor, you'd think I'd have a lot of faith. I would never question God about anything, right? Sometimes our circumstances cloud our faith, and sometimes the greatest news gets watered down by unbelief or a heavy heart, sometimes when we're down in the dumps on ourselves. Sometimes we cry out and never listen to the answer God has for us because we're so busy drowning in our sorrows. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. You guys know that, don't you? That was one of the best songs Hee Haw ever come out with. The voice of disappointment can be louder than the voice of God's promise. And we don't hear because we have too much noise going on in our lives sometimes. Busy is not always good. Zechariah and Elizabeth had a purpose, and they were to birth the forerunner to Christ. And ordinary people doing extraordinary things when God shows up and when God gets involved. Advent is this time that we celebrate the fulfillment for the promised Messiah. And we know the Messiah already came as a child. He was already born. He was already crucified. He was resurrected on the third day, and He ascended into heaven. But let me tell you, Messiah is coming again. Amen? That's what we are anticipating. Messiah is coming again. People long for the Messiah, and they prayed time and time again, and year after year, and decade after decade. And they continue, generation after generation, and we're doing the same thing. We're doing the same thing. The disciples even asked Jesus, when are you coming back? You know, even Paul was like, he preached, and Peter, they spoke like Messiah was coming back tomorrow. That's what we should live our life like. You know, I talk to a lot of people about, you know, living their life the way they want to live, and they somewhat believe in God, but, you know, it's like, well, you know, I'm not a drunk, or I'm not this, or I'm not that. And I was like, well, what about that one moment when you are? What if that was the moment that Jesus came? How would He find you? See, boy, that's scary, isn't it? Jesus says He'll come like a thief in the night. It's not when you know. He's going to come at a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and He's going to come, and which is a wonderful thing. Amen?
Amen?
But when He comes, how will He find you? At that moment, that's why it's so important that we prepare ourselves. It's so important that we stay on guard. That's a different message, but it really falls into this. You know, doubt destroys our faith, and there's consequences to our doubt, just like Zechariah. He kind of doubted. He kind of questioned Gabriel, like, whoa, wait, I'm an old man, and my wife is, you know, there's no way. There's no way. I'd feel the same way. I'd be like, no, ain't happening. But what God can do, God can do anything. He said, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. Man, can you imagine that? Can you imagine seeing Gabriel? Man, that just right there on its own. He said, I can be sure of this. It's going to happen, buddy. That's what Gabriel said. I stand in the presence of God, and I'm telling you right now, I'm sure of this. This is going to happen, whether you like it or not. I think we need to use our time wisely, and I think the greatest experiences I've ever had with God was when I was quiet and listening, and when I wasn't telling God what I needed or how I wanted it to go. Or how, it was just when I listened to Him and let Him speak to me and say, this is what I want you to do. Now go do it. God doesn't yell at you. God doesn't yell at you. You know, looking back, how well did the world prepare for His birth? Today we celebrate we'll be celebrating this Christmas season, but if truth be told, you don't even have to be really a Christian to celebrate, because we see thousands and thousands of people do it all the time. They're not even really believers, but yet they celebrate Christmas. To them it's about buying and getting gifts, but for the believer who has read of the birth and life and death and resurrection and has put their faith and trust in Him, it's different, isn't it, for us? Those who have had an experience with Christ, And we believe that the second time is not as a baby, but as a Savior, and He will reward and bless His people. Man, that's exciting. Are you excited this morning? I see some of you, you know, not so excited. Let me tell you, Santa Claus is coming to town. But Jesus is coming to the world. Amen. Santa Claus may be bringing presents, but Jesus is bringing redemption. And Santa Claus is bringing stuff that breaks and moth and rust destroys, but Jesus is giving back the gift that keeps on giving for eternity. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus has come and He is coming again. Amen? And let me ask you, are you going to let this be just another Christmas season? Are you going to experience this Christmas like you've never experienced it before? That's my question to leave you with this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this time, Lord, that we've got to share and gather together. Lord, let us experience what Christmas is in a way that we've never experienced before, as we anticipate, as we prepare for Your coming. Lord, we thank You and we praise You for what You're doing and what You're going to do. Lord, help us today. Lord, in every way, help us to bring healing to the sick. Lord, help us to bring spiritual resurrection to those who don't know You, that are spiritually dead. Lord, I again thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.